It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Investigators in Pakistan are sifting through the rubble of a luxury hotel today in the city of Peshawar. Yesterday, suicide attackers set off a powerful bomb that killed at least 11 people. That bombing came shortly after the Taliban vowed to take revenge in the face of an ongoing campaign against militants by the Pakistani army. For its part, the army says it has turned the tide in that fight. The military operation began after the Taliban swept into an area just an hour's drive from Pakistan's capital. The Taliban have now been driven out of that district, Bunair. But as NPR's Julie McCarthy reports, it will be hard to put the place back together.
In a matter of days, Abdelmalek Khan went from being one of the notables of Bunair to just one more of the greater Swat Valley's 2.5 million inhabitants dispossessed by Pakistan's six-week-old operation against the Taliban. We had a vast marble business, but it's finished. The Taliban carted off the machinery from our factories, Khan says. We being the prominent ones, the Taliban occupied our homes and inflicted 100 million rupees worth of damage, he says. Then the army bombarded our houses and flattened much of the village. Now, he says, we are living in limbo. Army spokesman Major General Attar Abbas concedes that the army leveled the homes of prominent citizens, but he says it was with the consent of people like Malik Khan.
The big houses were taken over by the militants, Taliban. They wanted to punish the notables of the area. So the notables had approached the military that, look, yes, we know exactly this is our house, but this has been taken over by the Taliban, and we want you to hit them hard in this house also.
But the marble magnate says he is distressed not just because of what he lost, but because he was betrayed by the government. Even before the army entered Bunair, local authorities urged Khan and other notables to form a militia to stop the encroaching Taliban. In early April, the militants spilled into Bunair from Swat Valley, making a mockery of a peace deal they'd made with the provincial government. Khan says the authorities, who at first promised aid and comfort to the new citizen militiamen, abandoned them to fend for themselves. When the militia or Lashkar clashed with the Taliban, there were no reinforcements, he said. The government told us that it would give us support and security and that we should fight this war. But they left us in the lurch, he says. Malik Khan hopes for compensation from the government or an offer of asylum from the U.S. or Britain. Too afraid, he says he won't be returning to Bunair anytime soon.
A lot of fear is with these people because once bitten, twice shy, this is the case.
General Abbas says the civilians who risked everything are heroic and need encouragement to return to Bunair for the long reconstruction ahead. The new top civilian administrator there, Yahya Akhundzada, says Bunair is starting to crawl back with the help of U.S. humanitarian assistance.
A lot of people have come back. They have not come permanently. They've come back to cut their crops and to have a look at their houses.
Farmer Nasib Wali returned this week to harvest his wheat after the army said things were improving in Bunair. But the young father of three discovered it was not fit for human habitation. There is no water. There is no electricity, and the children are really suffering, he says. In the area of Sultan Was, where the Taliban overran the homes of the rich, Nasib says the crops had caught fire from all the mortar shells that landed in the area. From his fields, Nasib says he could hear shelling in the distance toward the Swat Valley. Under these dangerous conditions, he says, residents are staying away. The absence of businessmen like Abdelmalek Khan will cost Bunair. Khan estimates without his family, 50% of Bunair's marble industry will not function. Yet Khan says all of the losses may be insignificant compared to the gain. It's a fact that houses were destroyed in the offensive, he says. But if we could get rid of this monster, the Taliban, then, Khan says, the sacrifice is worth it. But 23-year-old Nasib Wali says the people have sacrificed enough and that the army should begin to compensate for the destruction by ensuring that the rations of food get to hungry residents instead of a handful of elected officials, he says. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, Islamabad.